So aside from the Iser of eating chametz and the punishment of karis that's associated with eating chametz and the mitzvah saseh of the destroying chametz, ach meyom harishon tashbisus armi batechem, we mentioned a few weeks ago that there are two other isurim that appear in Parshas Bo'i. The Iser of lo yeiro elecha chametz, chametz should not be seen to you during Pesach, so'or lo yimotzei b'vaseichem, and chametz should not be found in your home. And because of these two isurim called lo bal yeiro, bal yimotzei, one is not allowed to retain ownership of chametz on Pesach. Now, the typical way of going about removing the chametz from your possession on Pesach is the formula that's provided for us by the Gemara Masechta the Pesachim and the Avdal Mebeis, which is midairaisa bebitu ba'al masagi, is to be mevatel your chametz. But midrabbanan, they require you to search for the chametz and to actually remove the chametz from your home, either because you might come across it on the Pesach and come to eat it, or because you don't have in mind to negate it entirely if you're going to keep it around. So therefore you have to take the chametz and remove it actually from your home. However, the Gemara, the Mishnah tells us in Masechtas Pesachim on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph that before the time when chametz is prohibited on Erev Pesach arrives, one can avoid this Iser Bal Yiro Bal Yimotzeh as well by selling the chametz to a Nachri. Kol Shosh Shemut Alechol, as long as it's still permitted to eat, Machal Lebehem Lachay Laoifay Sumoichal Nachri. He can sell his chametz to the Nachri. And writes the Ritva over there, V'chol shazachu bo hagoyim kodem zman isuroi, as long as the Nachri takes possession of it before the Zman Iser has arrived in our Pesach, V'adai mutar hu le'achar Pesach k'chomet shal Nachri, then it is considered to be the chomet of a Nachri, and you will not be in violation of Bal Yeiro, Bal Yeimotzeh, because the Gemara tells us, which I think we mentioned last time as well, that lo yeiro elecha chomet, shelcha I ataroya, v'al ataroya shal acherim. You can't see your chomet, but you can see the chametz of the Nachri, or of people who are not Jewish. That's not a violation of Bal Yiro, Bal Yimotzeh. So here the chametz will belong to the Nachri. You have to take it, as we mentioned last time, put it secluded away somewhere in the home. It shouldn't be out and about. But as long as you did that, you sold it, and you marked it off, that this is the chametz of the Nachri, that is sufficient. The first source, though, to use Mechiras chametz as like an official mechanism of avoiding Bal Yiro, Bal Yimotzeh, is found in the Tosefta that's quoted by the Ritva. The Tosefta says if you have a Nachri and a Jew who are traveling together on a boat, and the Jew will not get home in time before Pesach to remove the chametz from his home, he can sell it to the Nachri and buy it back from him after Pesach. However, the Tosefta adds one caveat. Uvilvad shelo yarim. As long as you do not do this as a harama, as a loophole, or some sort of legal fiction. What is excluded by that clause? So the Ritva understands the following. Aval, imherim, if you do it as a harama, as a legal fiction, a legal loophole, what does that mean? V'hu ragi alasos kein b'chol hashanim. He does this every year on an annual basis, habitually sells his chametz to the Nachri and then buys it back after Yom Tif. Lim kol agoy kodem ha-pesach v'lito la'achar ha-pesach kansinole. We penalize him v'hu asalai and it's prohibited to him v'kol Yisrael la'achar ha-pesach. It's prohibited to him after Pesach would be included in the penalty of chametz sha'ava lava Pesach, chametz that you retained b'Yisrael and Pesach will not be allowed to use that chametz afterwards. So it says the Ritva, you can do this, but you cannot do it on an annual basis. And the Ramban, at the beginning of Masechtas Pesachim, the Talmidei HaRamban, quote this in the name of Rav Amram Goin, same idea, that the idea of the Tosefta, of selling the chametz to the Nachri, and buying it back after Pesach, is limited to a one-time thing. You cannot do it on an annual basis. Or it has to be in a case-by-case. However, thankfully, the Beis Yosef quotes in the name of the Rosh and the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yerucham, who understood that final clause of the Tosefta differently. The Rosh and the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yerucham understood Vovad Shelo Yarim, not that you can't do it every year. It says Rabbeinu Yerucham, Ein Lecha Harama Gedola Mizu. Of course, this is a loophole, a legal fiction. Vafil Hachi Sharia. It is allowed. May Achash and May Tzio May Reshusa Legamre. Since you are, in the end of the day, selling it to the Nachri. What does it mean then that you shouldn't do this in the form of arama. The kama hainu loymer shelo yimkar loy velo yitein loy al tnai. You shouldn't give him it as a conditional sale. It must be a full and complete sale. It can't be that there are strings attached. You know, we're selling it to you, but you have to sell it back. I mean, you could choose to sell it back, but it has to be a complete sale. And according to the Rosh and the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yerucham, therefore, we could assume that you could do this on an annual basis as long as the sale is a legitimate and sincere and complete sale. And this point is made by the Trumas HaDeshen, one of the later Rishonim, who was asked about this annual practice of selling the chametz to the Nachrin and buying it back from him after Pesach. It says, Mi sheyesh biyadoi inyanei chametz samach lepesach, v'kasha olav levarom, it's difficult to remove it from the home. You want to give it to the Nachri in a present. And that Nachri, it's understood that he will give it back to you after Pesach. Shari kai gavna oiloi. That was the question that was posed to the Trumas HaDeshen. And he responds, Yiro de shari. This is permissible. Rak sheyitnem lo b'matana gemura b'li shum tanai. As long as you give it to him as a complete and sincere gift, or you sell it to him for a nominal amount, o sheyimachim lo mechira gemura b'davar muat. And this is, in fact, brought in the Shulchan Aruch, and this is the basis for our practice of selling the chametz to the Nachri every year on an annual basis, even though it's understood that the Nachri will most likely, he doesn't have to, but will most likely sell us back our chametz after Pesach. And the Trumas HaDeshen brings a raya, a proof, that such a sale is, in fact, a complete and sincere sale. Because even though you're selling it to him, and it's understood that he's going to give it back, that doesn't undermine the legitimacy of the sale, because the Gemara tells us in Masechet Gittin on Daf Chaf Mebeis has a shaila about a couple that wants to get divorced. And, you know, all the parties are interested in doing the divorce, so we try and expedite things. We want to do it right now. But the only paper that's available belongs to the wife. Problem is that the get has to belong to the husband, the cost of law, sefer krisus, v'nasim biyada, it has to belong to him. So the Gemara says, well, what can you do? You can have the wife give him the paper as a present, let him write the get, and he'll give it back to her. But the shaila the Gemara has is, can a woman make such a nuanced kinyan to give it back to the husband, knowing full well she's going to get it right back? Does she really ever then mean to give it to the husband sincerely and fully, knowing she's going to get it right back? I mean, can she understand that kind of nuanced, halachic kinyan, I'm giving it to you, even though she knows she's going to get it right back? And the Gemara concludes that she can. So therefore, argues the Trumas HaDeshen, so too, we can sell the chametz to the Nachri, even though the Nachri knows that he's going to sell it right back to us after Pesach. That doesn't undermine the sale, it's still considered to be a legitimate sale. That's the argument of the Trumas HaDeshen, yeah. He brings up an idea of just giving it, or he says it's better, you know, what to do it with a nominal amount of money.
What does it mean to give it? To say, like,
I'm giving you a present, and that transfers ownership.
Oh, and then with the expectation that they're going to give it back after.
Yes.
Can you permit that even?
Yes, we don't do that. We do the what he suggests in the second part. That sounds a little bit better. We don't even sell for a davar muat. He puts a down payment, and then he's obligated at some point, if he wants to keep it after Pesach, to pay the rest, which he's most likely not going to want to do. If he wants to pay market value for our chametz, we'd be happy to sell it to him, probably. But he's not interested in doing that. So that's the raya of the Trumas HaDeshen. If a woman could give the paper to the husband, they could write the get and give it back, so too we can sell the chametz to the Nachri, and he'll give it, even though it's understood that he's going to sell it, but he doesn't have to, but it's understood that he's going to sell it back to us after Yom Tov. Such a sale is, in fact, valid. Others are critical of this raya of the Trumas HaDeshen. How can you bring a raya from the fact that a frum woman can make a nuanced halachic kinyan to a Nachri? A woman is familiar with the halachic system, so she understands, yes, I'm giving you the paper of Matana Gemura, even though I know I'm going to get it back as part of the divorce proceedings. However, to sell chametz to a Nachri, even though he knows he's going to sell right back to you after Pesach, does he ever really mean to buy it in the first place? You have no raya from the woman who's giving you the piece of paper, even though she knows he's going to get back, to a guy. Well, who says the guy understands, you know, is able to process this kind of nuanced halachic maneuver? Many argue with the Trumas HaDeshen. However, in the Trumas of the Oneg Yomtev was the Rav in Bialystok in the 1800s, a classical Trumas Sefer. So in the Trumas of the Oneg Yomtev in Simon Lamed Beis, he argues in defense of the Trumas HaDeshen that the Raya is can be valid to justify our practice. Why? Because our case is in fact better than the Gemara in Gittin. See, the Gemara in Gittin, the woman is taking a piece of paper, a shtar, and she's giving it to the husband, even though she knows she's going to get it back. So the Gemara is not sure if people ever really mean to give it to you when they know they're going to get it right back. Is the matana a true and complete sincere matana? But here by the Nachri is buying. He's not giving. He's taking our chametz, even though he knows we're going to buy it back from me after Pesach. He's not giving, having a mind to get it back. He's taking, having a mind later to sell. So he's in control of the situation. When you're in control of the situation, so then it's much more likely that in fact you do have in mind to complete the sale because it's yours. I see it now, I'm in the driver's seat. I might give it back, I might not sell it back. The Nachri sees it, he has options. So once you see that you have options, whether to sell it back or not to sell it back, then we can perhaps understand that the Nachri does understand what's going on, and the kinyan is sincere and complete and without any strings attached. The Gemara is shocked by the woman who's giving the paper. She's, skeptical about really giving it because she knows she's going to get it right back. So that's where the Gemara is not sure if a woman can make such a kinyan. However, here it's a little bit better. At the same time, even though that is the psak of the Trumas HaDeshen, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the Achronim are suspicious that the Nachri really does not have in mind to buy the chametz, or we really don't have in mind to sell it, and perhaps there is a problem of that final clause of the Tosefta of Uvilvad Shelo Yarim. You can do this, but as long as there's no harama involved. So since there is some concern that the sale is not a complete sale, so the Taz and the Bach have recommended solutions to augment the sale, to give it a little bit more, to enhance it, to give it a little bit more substance. So the Mishnah Berurah and Simitaf Mem Ches of Kanyud Beis quotes in the name of the Taz and the Bach, the best to give the keys to the house, to the Nachri, so that he can access the Chametz whenever he wants. If you're selling somebody something, he's probably going to want access to it. And if you don't give him access to it, how can we really legitimize the sale? So it says in Mishnah Berurah, you should really tzarech limsalai mafteach mecheder shemunach b'achameis kidei sheyuchal lichmeis b'chol shah. He could enter at any moment. Sheyirtz of alito aschemtzo shenimkar onitenoi. The Mishnah Berurah, though, and that's what he recommends, the Mishnah Berurah, to give over the keys. The Mishnah Berurah, though, in the Shar HaTzion, in the bottom, the footnotes, quotes from the Noid of Yehuda in a tshuva who disagreed at Simen Yud Ches, who disagrees with this Taz in the Bach. Because the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Kiddushin that, let's say I make a sale. I sell you my house. Why am I selling my house? Because I plan to move somewhere else. Says the Gemara, a person, let's say, sells a house, having a mind to move somewhere else, and then he went to contract and to closing, and then his plans fall through. So he comes back to the buyer, he says, you know what, I'm not moving, I want my house back. I don't. He says, I'm not giving you the house back. So he says, well, I only had in mind to sell if I was going to move somewhere else. My plans fell through. So, was that stipulated in the contract? No, but that's what I had in mind. So Gemara comments, Dvarim Shebalev Einam Dvarim. What you have in mind is irrelevant, is insignificant, unless you articulated that it was made as a stipulation to the sale, or it's something that's obvious. When you buy a car, you don't have to stipulate it has to have an engine. That's obvious. But it's not obvious that the person is only selling his home because he's moving to, maybe he wants to sell his home for another reason. So it's not obvious at all that he would want to negate the sale if his plans would fall through. So therefore, such a mental stipulation, it has no bearing. It's insignificant. Dvarim shebalev einam dvarim. So too says the Noid of Yehuda the following. You sell the chametz in a legitimate fashion to the Nachri. What I think in my heart, whether I mean it or not, or whether the Nachri means it or not, should be irrelevant. L'maisa, we sold the chametz with a valid transaction, a means of sale, and transferring ownership. So what difference does it make what I have in mind and what he has in mind? L'maisa, the sale should be valid, because dvarim shebalev einam dvarim. And in fact, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, the minug is not to do like the Taz and the Bach, to transfer the keys. We don't collect keys when we sell chametz, so that the Nachri could come into your house unannounced and to take his chametz. However, the Mishnah Berurah argues with the line of reasoning of the Noda Yehuda, because he says that's true when you do a real bona fide sale. Yes, I sell you my house, a contract, closing. We do, let's say, you know, generally accepted. It's a real sale. So Dvarim Shemalei Veinam Dvarim, but he writes over here, the Koha Mechira, he loy hayarak haroman ba'alma, this whole Mechira is suspicious. So now you're going to start piling on top of it, Dvarim Shemalei Veinam Dvarim, the whole thing is suspicious. So unless you give over the keys, it doesn't really have any substance, and we don't believe it's legitimate in the first place. So we try and do, even though we don't transfer the keys, that's not the practice, but we do everything short of that to try and make sure the sale is valid. That's why many now have an official form. Where is the chametz found in the house? How much is it worth? What's your cell phone number in case an achri is so inclined to come, you know, and enjoy the chametz that he just purchased? You know, we want to make it as legitimate as we can because of the arguments of the Taz and the Bach. Because we're concerned with the final clause of the Tosefta. Yes, you can do this. It has to be a complete and legitimate sale. So we have to transfer the keys, but everything else we'll try and augment the sale to make it seem more legitimate. Yeah.
Are we concerned with the fact that the Nachri has the means to actually buy?
That's up to him. That's his problem.
I'm saying, does it question the legitimacy of the sale?
No, people purchase things without having cash on hand all the time.
Not even just cash, $1 million food. No.
He could leverage his properties. He could take out a loan. He could do lots of different things.
Houses,
yeah, take in investors. You never know. Oh. Okay. So that's the Tosefta, which is the basis for our practice, as the way it's understood by the Rambam and the Rosh and the Reni Yerucham and the Trumas Hadesha, that you can do this on an annual basis even. Not like the Ritva and the Ramban, quoting the name of Amram Goyen, who held you couldn't do this on an annual basis. We can do it on an annual basis, even though it is a legal loophole, a legal fiction, as long as, because it's understood he's going to sell it back to us after Yom Tov, as long as the sale is legitimate, is bona fide, there are no strings attached, it's not a conditional sale. However, the Bechar Shar, who was one of the Achrayim, lived in the 1700s, the author of the Sefer Tvua Shar and Masechta Schulden, Yerodea, puts one limitation on this system. And that is that he argues the only time you can utilize this annual Mechiras Chametz to the Nachri, where you're going to buy it back after Yom Tov, is if you're only dealing with an Iser of Ba'yirah Ba'yimotzei Midirabonon. But if you're dealing with an Iser of Ba'yirah Ba'yimotzei Midiraisa, then you can't do this. So for example, he says, let's say you're dealing with chametz that you were not mevatel. He says the only time you could sell chametz is first you did bitul chametz. Bitul chametz avoids the issue by yiro by yimotzei midai raisa. The only thing is you have to remove the chametz from your home, midrabanan. Maybe you'll come to eat it, maybe you didn't mean the bitul b'leif shalem, as we discussed in the past. So that's where mechiras chametz can work. After mavatul the chametz, you sell your chametz, but either way, the obligation to get rid of the chametz at that point is only midrabanan. But if you're dealing with chametz, what we call chametz gamur, chametz which would be an isur midrashah to retain in your property on Pesach, either which is chametz that contains within it a kezias of chametz which could be eaten kedei achilas pras, it's that concentrated of chametz. So that's a kezias of chametz which can be eaten in 2 to 4 minutes. So that type of chametz, if you're not mevato it, let's say I don't negate it. I plan on enjoying this chametz. I'm not mevato the chametz. Or it's a type of chametz which you can't be mevato, which we'll get to in a second. So there the yisur of retaining that chametz on Pesach, we buy raw, buy mutzah, midoy raisa. The Bechor Shor argues that our type of Mechiras Chametz, which understood that you're going to buy it back from the Nachri, he's going to sell it back to you, after Yom Tov cannot, is not legitimate. It's not something that should be used. The exact case that's discussed by the Bechor Shor is that he acknowledges that the people used to sell Chametz on Pesach, but he says they only did it after Bitol. At which point, retaining the chametz is only the rabbanon, or by a taruvus of chametz, a mixture of chametz which doesn't have a kezias of chametz, which would be eaten b'kedei achilas pras, which is only the rabbanon. But he says, what about selling an animal, farm animal, to a nachri on Pesach, and he's going to be feed it chametz throughout Pesach? So writes the Bechor Shor that came unto Yisim in the Rabbanon whom it arises to be to Ba'amasagi. If you're Mavatl, your Chametz first, or you're only dealing with the Taruvus of Chametz, a mixture of Chametz which doesn't contain within it, Kazayas of Chametz, which should be eating Mekdei Achilas Pras. So hey Mamru, v'hei Mamru. They're the ones who said, Chazal said, created the Yisir by Rabbi Yomotzei in that situation, so they could create the solution of Mechiras Chametz, K'mo Shekazim B'Toysefta. But this animal, which you're going to feed real Chametz, Avalavkiya Yisir Doiraisa Dehainu Lahachio Behemos Yisrael Chametz B'Pesach, I'm going to sell the animal to an Achri. He's going to feed it Chametz. It's true, it's his Chametz, but I'm benefiting from it because it's being fed to my animal, so I'm benefiting from Chametz Doiraisa on Pesach. Lafkiya Yisir Doiraisa Dehainu Lahachio Behemos Yisrael Chametz B'Pesach Loi Mahani Mechira. Such a situation, the Mechira is not valid. Everybody knows that you really don't plan on selling it. You're going to buy it back after Yontif. So if we're dealing with Bayi Ra, Bayi Matzei, that's only Midrabanon. First you were Mavato, your Chametz, Gamur. Then you didn't remove it from the home yet. Midrabanon, you have to remove it from the home. Bitul is enough. Midrabanon, you have to remove it from the home. But instead of removing from the home, you sold it to the Nachri. It's too cumbersome to remove to the home. So you sold to the Nachri. That's where Mechiras Chametz works. There's no Bayi Ra, Bayi Matzei, Midai Raisa. Or Taruvus Chametz, which doesn't have Kezayas Chametz, which could be even Bigdei Achilas Pras. But to retain Chametz Gomor, which is Bayi Ra, Bayi Matzei, Midai Raisa, and you don't plan on being Levat to the Chametz, because you plan on enjoying it later. So then, or it's an animal, which you cannot be Mavato. You can't be Mavato, an animal. I declare the animal negligible, or you can't do that. It doesn't make any sense. Nonsensical when it comes to an animal. So Bechor Shor argues that Mechiras Chametz cannot apply to that type of situation, because we all know you're going to buy it back after Yom Tov, and this is just a legalese, it's a legal loophole, legal fiction. So on that point, the first point of the Bechor Shor, that the only time we utilized Mechiras Chametz was when we were first Mavato the Chametz. Then we sold it, so you're only sidestepping an issue by Rabbi Matzah Midrabanan, that's when Mechiras Chametz works. So the Chasam Sofer disagrees, who was a little later contemporary of the Bechor Shor. He says, wait a minute, that can't be where they used Mechiras Chametz. Because he says, one minute, if you were Mavatal your Chametz, now it's ownerless, how then can I go ahead and sell it to the Nachri? I don't own it. Reis Chasam Sofer, Maman of Shach. E Bitel Kvar, if you were Mavatal your Chametz already, Eich Moichel Nachri, Mashe Kvar Bitel Behifkir. You don't own it anymore. How can it be? That's what I sold. Must be, says Chasam Sofer, what did people utilize Mechiras Chametz for? Chametz Gomor, which they were not Mavatel. If they were Mavato it already, you can't sell it to the Nachri. So it could be that the Bechor Shor and the Chasam Sofer, this Machlekes really hinges upon Machlekes Rishonim, how to understand Bitul Chametz. Because the Gemara tells us in Masechet Pesachim and Avdalah Mebeis, in order to avoid your chametz, they required you to remove it from the home. Maybe you weren't mevatel, but if shalom, you come across a piece of chametz on Pesach and be tempted to eat it. But what does bito accomplish? How does that avoid b'yirah? So Tosis there quotes in the name of Rashi that the mechanics of bito are that it constitutes a hashbosa shebelev. Just like there's a mitzvah to obliterate the chametz, ach tashbisu, ach b'yom harishon, tashbisu sarmi batechem. This can be accomplished not only by burning it in a garbage can, it can be accomplished as well by mentally nullifying the chametz. That's what it accomplishes. Taisus disagrees. This is v'kasha l'ri. Dehai hashbosa havarahi. No, ach b'yom harishon, tashbisu sarmi batechem means to burn the chametz, not to mentally nullify it. Therefore, the Ri says, what then does Bito accomplish? Not Hashbosa Shebelev. Rather, the Midarais of Bito Ba'al Masagi Mitam, the Me'achar Shebitloi Havi Hefker. It's ownerless. V'yatsa Merashusai Umutar. becomes ownerless. And this is reflected in the nusach of the Bitul Chametz that we have, le-botel, like Rashi, le-heve hefker ka'afra da'ara. As you become hefker, like the dust of the earth, that's like Tosfos. We integrated both. So therefore, the Chassam Sofer argues, wait a minute, if you were first mevatel your chametz, so then it's hefker, or you nullified it, it's obliterated. How can I later go and sell the chametz? So it says the Chassam Sofer, of course, mechiras chametz must have been on what types of items? Chametz that you were not yet mevatel, chametz gomor. Because if you already mevatel it, and now you only have to destroy it midrabanan, but at that point you're already mafkir it. You don't own it. How can I later sell it to the Nachri something that I don't own? That's either hefker or that's been totally negated. I've destroyed it mentally, as Rashi understood. However, it could be the Bukhar Shor understood Bitul Chametz like the approach of the Ramban. The Ramban and the Ran have a third perspective on how Bitul Chametz works. Because the Ramban and the Ran are not happy with Taisus Pshat. Taisus, Rashi said it's Hashbasa Shabalev. So Taisus says, no, it has to be burned. So Taisus says, what is it that's Hefker? So the Ran asks, one minute, Chazal knew the word Hefker. If they meant Hefker, why did they call it Bito? Say Hefker! But they called it Bito Chamed. So the Ran and the Ramban say it sounds like it's something else, not Hefker. Moreover, says the Ran and the Ramban, that Taisus already notes that the Gemara tells us Masechtas Nedarim to declare something as hefker, it has to be done in the presence of three people, typically. So how could this become hefker? You did it all by yourself in your home, all alone. And Bitul Chametz, you could even just think it. You don't have to articulate it verbally. But hefker has to be articulated verbally. You can't just think hefker and it becomes ownerless. It's something that has to be heard by other people. The Gemara Nedarim says three people. And finally, the Gemara says, Masechtos Psachim, Adav Zayin, that if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, you could be Mavatel your Chametz on Shabbos. But you can't transfer ownership of something on Shabbos. You can't make something Hefker on Shabbos, says the Ran. So then how could you make your Chametz, be Mavatel your Chametz on Shabbos, if Bito is a form of Hefker? Therefore, says the Ran, says the Ramban, it is not Hashbasa shebelev like Rashi. It is not hefker like Tosfos either. You can't do that belev all by yourself on Shabbos. Rather, they formulate the third possibility. And that is because the Ramban and the Ran both explain that really you should never have been able to violate this Iser of lo yeroel lecha chametz, of so'ar lo yimotze bevaseichem, of having chametz in your ownership on Pesach. Why? Because chametz on Pesach is aser b'hanah. Not only are you not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to derive any form of benefit from chametz. So therefore, for all intents and purposes, perhaps I really don't even own it. How can you own something that you can't benefit from? So Ramban says, Isurei hanah einan mamon. It's really not your property. V'lo karina be'lecha. That's not called lo yeiro elecha chametz. Doesn't belong to me. It's Isurei Hana. So how could I violate then Bal Yira Bedinu, says the Ramban, Shlo Yavro Lo Beklum. Really, you can't violate Bal Yira Bal Yimotze. There's no conceivable way or possibility of violating this. Rather, Shahatar, but Lamai said there is an Isur of Lo Yira Elo Chachamet. So what does the Isur mean? You don't own the Chametz comes Pesach. Must be that the Torah took it and put it back under your care, your responsibility. It's your problem come Pesach. Ki'ilu hu b'rishuso, the equivalent as if it's in your ownership, it's part of your property. V'pnei shadai toy olav hu raitza b'kiyuma, because you care about it, you're concerned about it. You give it chashivus, so therefore the Torah takes it and puts it back in your rishus. What does Bitul Chametz accomplish? It puts back, restores what should have been. L'ficha zesh eskima daito l'das ha-tayra v'yotza levatloi. When you're mavato your chametz, all you're doing is saying, don't take this and put it back in my rishus. Leave it as Isurei Hana. Comes Pesach, I won't own it. Because really that's what should have been. But the Torah, by the fact that there is an Iser of lo yei ro'el chametz, must be the Torah took the Isurei Hana, gave it back to us. Now we're taking the hot potato and throwing it away. We don't want it. We have no chashivas for it. It's not our responsibility. But lemaisa, what makes the chametz not in your rishus? That happens by itself. Because once Pesach comes, the chametz is also bahana. I don't have to do anything. All the bitul chametz accomplishes is the Torah takes it and restores it to your rishus. I don't want it. You keep it. But it does not become hefker at any point in time. It only becomes ownerless once Pesach... It doesn't become hefker before Pesach. It becomes ownerless once Pesach comes. The Iser Hanav Chametz sets in, now I don't own it. And then you avoid Ba'yiro, Ba'yimot, say, being Mavatel, and saying, I don't want this, I have no chashivas for it, it's not my responsibility either. Once Pesach comes, arrives, the Iser Hanav sets in, and I avoid Ba'yiro, Ba'yimot. So therefore, all that Bito really accomplishes is that I'm demonstrating that I'm not interested, I give it no chashivas, no value, and I'm not interested in owning it. But it doesn't make it ownerless. It only becomes ownerless once Pesach arrives. So therefore, it could be the Bechor Shor understood Bito Chametz like the Ramban. And if the Bechor Shor says, you know what? I'm avato my Chametz. I say, no, I don't want it. But now, I mean, not only am I going to say it has no significance to me, and I don't want to be responsible for it come Pesach, I'm going to even sell it to the Nachri. So says Bechor Shor, when you're mevatel it, you take the Iser Ba'yirah Ba'yimatzeh off the table. We're not dealing with an Iser Deraisa anymore. But that doesn't make it hefker at that moment. All it does is demonstrate I'm not interested in it. And when Pesach, the timeline will reach Pesach, the Iser Hanav will set in. I won't violate Ba'yirah Ba'yimatzeh. But it serves to take the Iser Ba'yirah Ba'yimatzeh off the table. The Iser Deraisa Ba'yirah Ba'yimatzeh. Still midrabanan, you can't retain it in your rishus. Throughout Pesach, maybe I didn't mean my bito, maybe I'll come across it and eat it, b'iser. So you have to get rid of it midrabanan. That's what bito chametz works for, says Bechor Shor. When all you're dealing with is an iser midrabanan, a ba'yira ba'yimatzeh, or taruvus chametz, a mixture of chametz. But when you're dealing with an iser midoraisa of ba'yira ba'yimatzeh, well, you're not mevatel your chametz. I don't plan on being mevatel this chametz. When I say lebotav have a hafka kara, I don't mean my liquor cabinet. That I'm going to sell to the nachri because I'm going to buy it back erev Pesach, or it's an animal which you cannot be mevatel. So then the Bechor Shor says for those types of items, mechiras chametz does not work. It only works for something you were once mevatel, or the whole ease of retaining it on Pesach is only midrabanan because it doesn't contain a kezias of chametz that can be eaten b'kedei achilas pras. However, the fundamental argument of the Bechor Shor is that this type of harama, this type of legal loophole, legal fiction, cannot be used when we're dealing with an Iser Midaraisa of Ba'yiro Ba'yimatzeh, only when we're dealing with an Iser Midarabanan, when either you are first Mevatel your Chametz or it doesn't have a Kezayis of Chametz that can be eaten B'gdei Achilas Pras. But what is the basis for that? How does he know that it can't work for an Iser Midaraisa of Ba'yiro Ba'yimatzeh, only for an Iser Midarabanan? So that's based, his argument is based on the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara tells us...
Is that why we can't sell it before we do Bito? Because it would be Torah to us?
While according to Bechor Shor...
Yeah, I'm saying...
We might not pass going to Bechor Shor.
So if we don't, then why can't we sell it before we do?
We do, many people sell it early.
And would that like get rid of the problem in that way? It becomes
it would be a problem for the Bechor Shor. Yeah, according to the Ksav Sefer, the only thing you're selling is the chametz you weren't mevatel. The chametz you were mevatel, you're not going to sell.
Right.
When we say the bottom of a hefker kaf for the hour, we mean the chametz we're not aware of.
Right.
The chametz we are aware of, we sold to the Nachri.
Oh,
that's how the Ksav Sefer understood it. Bechor Shor says, no, once you're mevatel your chametz, it's only the Rabbanan anyway, now you can sell it. Ksav Sefer says, once you're mevatel it, you can't sell it. So Bechor Shor understood Bito Chametz differently. No, all Bito Chametz means is a statement that I don't give it significance, but it doesn't leave my ownership. It only leaves my ownership when Pesach comes. So now, once I stated, for the record, I give no significance to this, now you can sell it, because you're only dealing with the Ba'yirah, Ba'yimatzeh, Midrabanan.
The Bechor Shor's
eyes,
you can't even sell it before.
No.
It wouldn't work.
That's right. Because it's a legal fiction, it's a harama, and we can't do that when we're dealing with an Iser Midaraisa. How does he know that, though? So that's based on the Gemara Masechta the Shabbos, where the Gemara tells us, Daf Kuf Lamed Tesa Mebeis, I'm a Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, Marim Adam Aho Mishmeres B'Yomtif. On Yomtif, you're allowed to strain liquids from the sediment. Not on Shabbos, but on Yomtif. However, you're not allowed to attach a strainer to a utensil, because it's Uvdu Dechol. a weekday activity. Midrabbanan. So writes the Gemara, but you can attach a bag, you know, a basket to a utensil in order to hold pomegranates or melons. You just can't put a strainer on top of the utensil to strain liquid from the sediment. That's what is uvda duchal, not to put a basket on top. So what can a person do? I put it on and I say, I'm hereby putting this for pomegranates. But once it's there for pomegranates, now I can use it to strain my liquid. Such a aroma. Or there's another case. You're not allowed to brew beer. You're not allowed to do malacha on Chol HaMoed unless it's Letzarech HaMoed. So if you wanted to brew beer on Chol HaMoed, you could do that if you wanted to drink it on Chol HaMoed. What if I have storehouses and storehouses of beer? I mean, I don't need this beer. Really, you can't. It's not Letzarech HaMoed. So Gemara says, Matil and Sheikha B'Moed, Letzarech HaMoed. Shalai Letzarech HaMoed is Aser. But person says, I'm going to drink this on Chol HaMoed, it's Letzarech HaMoed, even though he has storehouses full of sheikhar, full of beer, if he says he's going to use it on Chol HaMoed, that's a valid harama. He can do that, even though he has beer elsewhere. Or the Gemara has the other, another similar type case. Is he not allowed to create a bottle cap on Shabbos? It looks like Masakin Mana. It looks like Issa Midrabanan. It looks like you're fixing the kli to create a bottle cap. So a guy has an open bottle. What is he going to do? He can't create a bottle cap on Shabbos. So what does he do? He has garlic. He has to store the garlic somewhere, some Tupperware. So instead of storing the Tupperware, he stores it in the top of the bottle. And that stops up the bottle. So Gemara says here, Tzurba Mirabanan, Shaka Barad the Tuma, Umanach Bebarza the Dana. He puts it on top of the bottle. I am now hereby storing my garlic in the top of the bottle. And it serves as a bottle stopper too. Lam de shechab. Or finally, the Gemara is the case. They're not allowed to travel in a boat that's being operated by a Nachri on Shabbos. Much larger discussion for another time. But the Gemara says, the Mishnah Masechet Tzibah, that that's Asa Midrabanan. Maybe you'll come to build a boat. It should be an Issa Midrabanan. So the Gemara says, but what he can do is, let's say he wants to cross the river to check on his business on the other side of the river, he can lie down on the boat. A boat is docked. He's lying down. Take a nap. Shluff on the boat. Lo and behold, he wakes up after his nap, and he's on the other side of the river. The Nachri sailed him to the other side of the river, brought him to the other side of the river. So that's okay, because you're allowed to go to sleep on a boat. I woke up, I'm on the other side. Fine. No problem. I'm on the who. Harama kamarta, harama midrabanani. When can you do this type of harama? When you're only dealing with an iser midrabanan, writes Rashi. Ha harama la bi iser deraisa. He will be iser derabanan. You're only dealing with an iser derabanan. When you're dealing with iser midrabanan, you can do these kind of legal loopholes or legal fiction. However, says the Bechor Shor, if you're dealing with an iser midrabanan, you can't do such a solution. Because we all know what you have in mind. You can't do an Iser. Sidestep an Iser. Midrash on Shabbos. I have in mind something else. It doesn't work. It's only when it comes to Yisurim Derabbanan that you can have this type of harama, this kind of legal loophole or legal fiction. So therefore, argues the Bechor Shor that one cannot sell Chametz Gomer on Pesach, that he plans on buying back after Pesach, which is not going to be Mevatel. And many follow the practice of the Bechor Shor. That's what's recommended by the Elyeh Rabbah, by the Shuas Yaakov, by the Chayei Odom, and many have that minug that they don't sell Chometz Gomor on Pesach because of the opinion of the Bechor Shor that selling Chometz is valid, but it is a harama. So even if it's done as an unconditional sale, but to sidestep an Issa Midrabanan, we cannot do such a loophole, such a legal fiction. Makar Chaim, the Nesivis, who is a contemporary of the Bechor Shor, in his comments on Shulchan Aruch and Tov Mem Ches of Kol Nir Aluf disagrees, and he says, no, this case is not similar to the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, you are doing the Iser the Chazal formulated. They told you, don't hang, don't attach a strainer to a container on Shabbos, and you, on Yom Tov, and you did it. They told you, don't go on a boat that's operated by Nachri on Shabbos, and you did it. You got out of it by making a declaration, I have in mind something else. But bottom line, you did exactly which they prohibited. Because of a back door. So he says, that's where Haruma only works on an Issa Midrabanan. Because he'll do such a solution for an Issa Deiraisa, so then, as long as we all know what you mean, you did the Issa. So I understand Haruma can't work on an Issa Deiraisa in such a situation. But argues the Makor Chaim, when it comes to Mechiras Chametz, this is not the same type of situation. You're not doing that which Chazal prohibited or that which the Torah prohibits. You're selling the Chametz to the Nachri. He writes, the Shom Oisek Kol HaIsar, Rak Shamarim, Deloi Leidi De'inshi Shaisa Isar. I'm doing the Isar, but I declare, nobody think that I'm doing it. I'm doing something else. So, Kazu Vadeg Oshar, Rak Midrabana, in such a situation, is only Mutter by Nisim Midrabana. Ma She'ein Kein Hocha, Demavikach Shamarim. Who cares that everybody knows you're going to buy it back after Yom Tov? Kevin She'ein HaIsar, Rak B'Shaloi. There's only an Isar if you retain it. Gushamakra, Bekinyan, Lenachri, Harei HaKochel. Yosem Yeshu says, as long as you use a valid form of transaction, of acquisition, Lenachri bought it completely without any strings attached, you didn't do, which was prohibited. It's not the same as the Gemara in Shabbos, where you did it with the declaration. Here, you didn't do it. You didn't do anything that was prohibited. So, argues the Makor Chaim, and Chassam Sofer sounds like he argues with the Bechor Shor as well, that one can do Mechiras Chametz, even for Chametz Gamor, and that is the minig of many people as well, is to not only not to be Cheshish for the Chumr of the Bechor Shor, but to sell even Chametz Gamor. I personally sell Chametz Gamor, and I am a little bit suspect of the Bechor Shor argument, those who based the Chumrah on the Bechor Shor, because the Bechor Shor himself didn't argue, didn't say, you shouldn't sell Chametz Gamor. What was the case he was discussing? Was selling animals. If I were the Bechor Shor and making a stronger argument, I would have said, not only can you not sell animals, you can't even sell the box of cookies that you have. Why didn't he say that? So, I think it's perhaps because Bechor Shor might have sold Chametz Gamor. He only talks about the animals. He doesn't talk about not selling Chametz Gamor. If he meant that, perhaps he should have said it. So I'm more sympathetic to the opinion of the Nesivis and the Chassam Sofer and those who do sell Chametz Gamor. Yeah.
Can you read again the Bechor Chaim's Chiluk between
The Gemara and Shabbos, you're doing exactly what Chazal said not to do. Because you're saying, doesn't apply to me. But you're doing exactly what it is, but you're saying it doesn't apply to me. So even though we all know it does apply to you, because that's what you have in mind, you're going to strain the liquid after you put on the strainer, but we can't accuse you of anything at that moment. So okay, when it comes to Nisa Midrabanan, we'll allow the loophole. When it comes to Nisa Deiraisa, you can't get away with such a shtick. However, here by Mechiras Chametz, you're not doing that which Chazal or the Torah said not to do. You're selling your Chametz, it's gone. So says the Makor Chaim, it's a very different case. You follow? Is it? It's slightly different.
It's all the Rabbanan said, don't sell Chametz, and then
we're and I'm saying, well, it doesn't apply to me for the following reason. That's what the Gemara Shabbos is discussing. Here, I'm selling my Chametz entirely, lock, stock, and barrel. The fact that I plan on buying it back later, why can't a Haruma work? Even though we all know you plan on buying it back, it is a legal fiction. That's not the legal fiction that's prescribed by the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. Gemara Masechta Shabbos is talking about a legal fiction where you actually did the Iser with an out, with a back door. And that's the two are very different. So, but even those who sell Chametz Gamor Midoraisa, we should point out or add that doesn't mean that all Mechiros are equal, that this type of solution will work with regards to other dinim in the Torah. Because when it comes to mitzvahs asay, perhaps we shouldn't use such a solution. Even though we use mechiras chametz when it comes to Pesach, even for chametz gomer, midoraisa, let's say selling the land in Eretz Yisrael during the Shnas HaShmita, or selling a business that you want to operate on Shabbos might be a very different situation. Because the Maral in Parashas Vayigash discusses the question that the Ramban asks, and that is, how did Yaakov marry two sisters? After all, the Mishnah tells us at the end of Masechtas Kiddushin, Avram Avinu, all of the others, were kiyumas kol haTorah kula ad shelo nitna. They kept all of the mitzvahs, even though the Torah had not yet been given. So how did Yaakov Avinu marry two sisters? not allowed to marry two sisters. So the Ramban, and other Rishonim deal with the question. So the Ramban's answer is that they only kept the Torah and the Mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. That's the primary location for keeping Torah and Mitzvahs. Of course, we have to keep it in Chutz La'aretz too. But the primary location for keeping Torah and Mitzvahs is in Eretz Yisrael, and that's where the Avos volunteered to keep them, but not in Chutz La'aretz. And Yaakov married two sisters in Chutz La'aretz. However, the Maral has a different answer. The Maral says that the Avos only volunteered to keep Mitzvahs Aseh. Because a mitzvah saseh, you receive reward for fulfilling the mitzvah, so it makes sense, it's something that, to volunteer to do. However, a mitzvah lois saseh, you just get punished for violating the letter of the law, if you violated, the Iser. But if you're not commanded in the Iser, it doesn't apply to you, like the Avos Kodem Matan Torah, it's not something that makes sense to volunteer. Because the whole Iser only applies if you're commanded. The Iser is, don't violate this Iser, but if you're not commanded in it, it doesn't make sense to volunteer, says the Maral. The whole Easter in the first place is only not to violate the letter of the law. So if the letter of the law doesn't apply to you, it doesn't make sense to volunteer. But mitzvahs haseh, where you receive reward for performing them, there's more of the spirit of the law, and it makes sense that it's something to volunteer. Or for a similar idea, mentioned by the Nesivos in his comments on the Gemara Masechtas Brachos and the Chesed Aleph, where he quotes the Sifra in Parashas Kedoshim, where the Sifra tells us that a person should always say, I would love to eat chazer. Oh, I would love to wear shatnez. What can I do? The Ribbono Shel Olam has prohibited me from doing so. But you shouldn't say, oh, who would want to eat chazer? Who would want to eat this? Who would want to eat seafood? Ugh. No, you shouldn't say that. It says the Sifra. You might feel the way for other reasons, but it says the Sifra. That's not ideal. Ideal is to say, I would love to eat it, but I fulfill the mitzvahs of the Ribbono Shel Olam and I will refrain from doing so. However, Rais the Nesivos, that's only by mitzvahs lo saseh. There, because there's the letter of the law. Either you're commanded in it or you're not. It doesn't make sense to volunteer. And it doesn't make sense to say, I detest this activity. You're not allowed to violate the letter of the law, but more than that, you don't have to do. You don't have to volunteer. You don't have to say, I hate it. You don't have to hate it. But when it comes to mitzvahs haseh, there's more of a spirit of the law. You receive reward for performing them. There, the Nesivos says you shouldn't say, "Oh, I wish we didn't have to eat matzah this yontif." Oh, I wish we didn't have to. You can say, "I wish we didn't have to clean for Pesach," but you can't say, "I wish we didn't have to eat matzah. I wish we didn't have to have the seder, with the whole family." Oh, mitzvahs. Who wants these things? But what can I do? The Ribbono Shel Olam told me to eat matzah. That's not the proper attitude. When it comes to mitzvahs haseh, adrabba, chi of mitzvah lasos b'teyavon. You should do it with an excitement, with enthusiasm. Why? Because there's a difference between a mitzvah saseh and a mitzvah lois saseh. So similarly, the Chazon Ish, this is in the biography of the Chazon Ish called the Pe'er Hador, where they quote that the Chazon Ish, even though he understood that he agreed that the minhag in Klal Yisrael for generations was to do mechiras chametz to avoid the Yisrael by Yiro, by Yimotzi, by selling the chametz to the Nachri, before Pesach, even though it's understood you're going to buy it back from the Nachri after Pesach, this type of haroma, legal fiction, perhaps even by Chametz Gamor, this we cannot apply the same legal fiction to selling the land in Eretz Yisrael before the Shnas HaShemitah. Because the land resting in Shnas HaShemitah is not only a lois haseh to work the land, but there's a mitzvah haseh that the land should rest. Because the Pasuk tells us in Parashas Behar, the Minchas Chinuch points this out, that there's a mitzvah saseh of shna shaboso niya la'aretz, or v'shov saha'aretz, the land should rest, the minchas chinuch, the mitzvah kuf yud beis, lois beis. The gazar ha'kosev, the aretz tishbois, the land should rest. Just like the Ramban makes the point in Parashas Emor, that on Shabbos 2, there's not only melachos, there's a mitzvah saseh of shaboso, that you should rest. Which the Ramban claims means even things which are not necessarily formal melachos, let's say running a business on Shabbos might not really violate anything midday raisa. Business, mecha chomemkar is only also midday rabbanon. Touching money, handling money, only also midday rabbanon on muksa. Rabban says, how could we imagine Shabbos midday raisa? So you could do business, you could operate your stores. The Rabban says, no, how could that be that Shabbos midday raisa you could operate a store? It's only Isurim derabbanon that are involved. So Rabban says, you're right, it's only Isurim derabbanon, but there's a mitzvah saseh of Shabbosoin. Yom Hashvi'i Shabbosoin, that you're supposed to rest on the seventh day, and that mitzvah saseh covers running your business and many of those activities. So too argues the Chazon Ish on the Shnas HaShmita as well, or selling a business for Shabbos. There you're dealing with a mitzvah saseh, and it's not proper to avoid it by selling it to the Nachri. We should try and embrace the mitzvah saseh, not look to avoid it. When it comes to mitzvah lo saseh, all there is a letter of the law. As long as you're not violating the letter of the law, it doesn't make sense to volunteer or to go beyond. Well, you want to find a loophole around it? Great. However, when it comes to mitzvah saseh, it's not something we should look to avoid. And in the footnotes of that Pe'er Hador, he quotes there from the Imre Yemes, when he came to Eretz Yisrael. So he explained that even though he approved the Mechiras Chametz, he didn't approve of the Mechira for the Shnas HaShmita. But Hezber hu shaloi dami le Mechiras Chametz. Ki bechametz harei rotzon ha-Torah shel Yisrael lo yishar chametz bebeisai. By Pesach, the Torah doesn't want chametz to remain in our house. You want to come up with a solution to remove it from your possession? Great. But ve'ilu b'shviyis, by Shnas HaShmita, rotzon ha-Torah sha'admos Yisrael yishbesu. They should rest b'shviyis. V'loi sheyechapsu eitza eich lo lishbos. We should have come up with solutions to avoid the mitzvah saseh. So that's why, even though we do have the custom of doing mechiras chametz, perhaps even for chametz gomer when it comes to Pesach, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we would have the same attitude towards mechira when it comes to selling a business for Shabbos or selling land in Eretz Yisrael for the Shnas HaShmita. So Rabbi Yisai, as it comes, you know, we're clean for Pesach, and many people are scared of the process, we like to avoid it, but the mitzvahs of Yom Tov, of the Seder, of the Matzah, of the Maror, is something we should look forward to, we should embrace, and Emir Tzachem, if we do that, we'll be zeichet to all the Gaval, the Geinyonim, the person can be zeichet to on Pesach. What do you want to say?